irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. Welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, your host, spiritual mentor, and a sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power, your inner power, and show to the world, bring it out, bring your gifts out. This is a program, an empowerment program, where I bring people, guests, spiritualists, artists, authors that are in their gifts, that are in their power, where they are showing everything to the world. And with that, hopefully, we get encouraged to just get up and do what we really love to do. Before I go to our wonderful guest, I want to give you our phone number. If you have any questions, share your story, share your thoughts, share your feelings. 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. And on Skype, it's LA Talk Radio. So, with that, I have a wonderful guest host today. This is Gina Ann. She is a spiritual counselor and a children's book author. Hi, Gina.
Hi. Good morning. Hey. Or afternoon now.
Afternoon. Yeah. Lovely to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
We had a few encounter shows, and it was Zooming, but this is the first time we're actually.
No, being in a studio, like I said, it just changes the vibe. It just ramps it up, the energy.
This is exciting. This is exciting to be in this in this setting, right?
Right. Well, I love the interactive, so we can bring people in and on.
Yeah,
and then connect,
and people call in, and so we're going. This is our first live. We're talking about doing something together, and here we are. And you are an intuitive counselor, right? And
yes.
And you work with people. You work with people. I work with people through sound. We have a sound bowl. Maybe we'll get to that. But you work with people on different aspects. And you bring in the inner child, right?
Yeah,
that magic, that beauty thing.
Because we all have it. So I'm an inner child specialist. I do work with children, teens, and adults. But for me, we're getting to the root, which every tree has a root. For me, it's the umbilical cord. That's our lifeline. That's where it first begins.
Yeah.
So if we get to the lifeline, the umbilical cord, then we can resolve and heal.
Yeah, and it ties really nicely into what I wanted to talk about today. And what I want to talk to you about today really is where we start from is communication.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But communication coming from love. Everything starts from love. And I want to read something, and this is by Hafiz. Hafiz was a Sufi poet, and he was a student of Rumi. Right? How did the rose ever open its heart and give to this world all its beauty? It felt the encouragement of light against its being. Otherwise, we all remain too frightened. Otherwise, we'll remain in our head, right?
Exactly.
And it's either here or here,
correct.
Right? You know, they say that the longest journey we'll ever make in life is 18 inches long.
Okay, that can go many ways.
Okay, well, where are we taking
it? Okay, that can go many ways.
But, you know.
But that's the great thing about imagination.
That's right.
18 inches for me is different than 18 inches for you.
Well, you know, it depends where you start from.
Exactly. And where it ends.
So communication is a big thing. Communication
is everything.
It's everything. So how do you work primarily with, I call them younglings, right?
That's where I specialize with children, teens, and young adults. But, you know, every adult has an inner child.
That's right.
So, you know, communication is key to every relationship. And for me, there's two kinds. It's comprehensive and conscious communication.
Hmm. What's the difference for you?
So comprehensive is I own a motorcycle. I don't know how to ride it there from a crash. conscious communication is I own a motorcycle. I don't know how to ride it, but I'm willing to learn.
Ah. So what you're talking here is the communication, first of all, to myself, mm-hmm. as myself, as a person, mm-hmm. right? So it is overcoming a lot of things. It is overcoming to be in that place, to be in that conscious, to be in that state of consciousness, of awareness and consciousness. I have to overcome many things. I have to overcome fear. Mm-hmm. I have to, or understand.
Or make friends with
it. Or make friends, right?
That's where love comes in.
Yeah. It's not about shooing away those parts, because these are all parts of us. These are all parts of where we are, where we come from, what we grew up with, our fears, our hopes and fears, you know, like, and so, yeah. So somebody comes to you, and it's interesting because it's also reflected in your books how you deal with that. Somebody comes to you and has this that blockade. How do you go about it? Do you dive first into their childhood? Do you ask? I mean, how do you go about that?
Well, no one is cookie cutter. So whoever is in front of me, whether it's on the phone or in person, I first can see their timeline from their childhood, and then we go from there. It's not a forcing. It's not a pushing. It just organically comes out. So whatever the blockage or the fear is, we go to the root of it. It's like love. We're not afraid of love. We're afraid of being rejected and abandoned.
Yeah, when people say, oh, love is painful. Love is not painful.
No.
Love is love.
It's what we're
experiencing. Like, and right?
Exactly. Well, you communicate through voice and sound, right? That's how you heal.
Yeah.
That's how you heal.
Well, this is one aspect, you know.
This is one aspect. So the same with it. It's just one aspect of it. So if someone were to call in and ask something, then I would deal with that individually. It's like I said, it's not an overall formula.
Yeah, it's
everyone is custom and personalized. So if someone comes with something, then I deal with that issue.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
We have all the same stories. It just looks different, but it feels the same.
Yeah, we all go through the same emotions. The pain, you know, rejection. Some people have it stronger because maybe the wound lies in that particular area. But we all experience it in different mm-hmm. times, in mm-hmm. different stories, because we have different stories. Like, you know, you're from here, I'm from Israel. I mean, it's a different culture, different family, different.
But family dysfunction, family.
I don't know dysfunction family. I don't know what
that means. It's across the board and across the globe.
I don't know what the, but and as far as communication, you know, so we can start. We can talk about there's so many areas in communication, but let's focus on when we are. When we're talking to one another, mm-hmm. We can talk about clients, but it's really what we're many times focusing on is how do I talk to another person, let's say in a relationship, right? And and what I found is that you're talking about, you mentioned words and sound, and yes, words, and words are changing. Words are a tool to change. Abracadabra, right? Mm-hmm. Which is in Aramaic, I create as I speak. So we manifest through words, but what comes before the words is the intention.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
It's the intention. So the words are like, when I say, for example, the body, when I give this analogy of people asking what's a spirituality and how a soul and a body. So I give the analogy of a car. The car is our body, mm-hmm. and the soul is the driver. So you can pimp your ride as much as you want, but if you don't have the driver, if you don't have the soul, then the car won't move. You know, so everything has everything in this physical realm has a spiritual reason and cause. The same thing with communication, with words. The words are like the car, mm-hmm. and the intention is like the driver, right? So if whoever is sitting behind the wheel is either going to drive the car into a wall or going to drive the car nicely and comfortably, take care of preventative maintenance and all these kind of things.
Be considerate of other people, right?
Be considerate of other people.
And
so, yeah.
Okay. That's the visual I got from your analogy, which I love.
And it's also in many times what I find, I don't know, maybe you experience it too. You know, you meet somebody and any settings, right? Mm-hmm. You meet somebody, and it's being aware of the lay of the land. Like, what is happening here? Like I had somebody. I was talking on the phone. I think I shared with you. And that person, we had a lot of phone cut off, mm-hmm. right? A phone cut off, right? she's like, you know what I'm talking about. we were talking in Israel. The person is in Israel, and we were talking over the phone and WhatsApp, and it was getting cut off many times. Like I would speak, and she wouldn't. Oh, you see, I said already shit, and she wouldn't hear me. Right. And so I thought, you know, it's okay, let me hang up because the WhatsApp was not working right. Mm-hmm. And we had like 3-4 times. And then at one time, she was speaking and I couldn't say, I thought she wasn't hearing me because it was always, there was nothing. And so I hung up and I called again. I said, oh, probably the phone. No, I heard you. But I had something. I had an urge. I had a desire. So I had to get out what I had to get out. Da, 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 da. Okay? Now, so when something like this happens, at first, my first instinct was an instinct of like, it's like, what is it? But it's like the lay of the land. It's like, how are we aware of the lay of the land of who's in front of me, right? And I can, you know, I had these experiences before. Do you know what I'm talking
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. Well, you hit the key word. And I think in healing, and it's awareness. So once you have the awareness, then you're able to communicate. So her ego perhaps got in the way.
Well, yeah.
And well, she had yeah. to be heard. And
well, obviously, you triggered my ego too, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. But you were in awareness of it. So that's how you communicated with yourself.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because you didn't hang on to it and you're not dwelling on it. You were aware of it. And that actually, that story belonged to her.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I remember things that where I was also like later on, months later, weeks later, something, hours later, sometimes years later, I was aware of
and that's
my own.
Exactly.
How I was.
It's yeah. sometimes a back and forth. And yes, it's happened many times. But where it started with me was in my family. Italian family, 3 brothers. I was never heard.
Yeah,
they all were yelling. I was the quiet one. So anything I said was never heard or valued. So I got my validation. That's why I became a teacher from my teachers.
Huh. So how did you... So you have 3 brothers, mm-hmm. right? So you're the only girl. You grew up in Texas.
Texas.
All right.
Alito, Texas.
Alito, Texas. And some small thing over there. And so you as a, how do you grow up? I mean, you obviously had did you have a hard growing up because you grew up with boys and it's always, you know, this mentality of like this kind of thing, you know?
Well, it's all I knew. So I had a very masculine energy, so I was very tomboyish, even though I was feminine. And so for me, the role I took was the nurturing, taking care of everyone. And then perfection pictures. I had to be the best athlete. You know, I had to get the best grades to try to get that kind of validation through my family. It doesn't mean there was a lack of love or support. It's just I wasn't heard.
So how can you have a...
So I got still.
So how can you have support if you're not being heard?
Meaning, I was allowed to play sports and I was allowed to write my poetry, but they would make fun of my poetry or they'd make fun of my stories. And but there was no lack of love or affection. It was my role because I was the girl. I wasn't allowed to cry. If I cried, I couldn't play.
Hmm.
Or I was called stupid because you can't cry.
Oh, that's
so I held that.
That's
and crying is a form of communication. It's the highest form of communication. For me, tears are words that are felt.
Yeah.
So I had to really embrace that. That came years and years later. I felt okay to cry.
Crying,
but even now, yeah. I don't like to cry in front of others.
Yeah. Crying is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's releasing. It's really releasing. It's kind of like, it's like.
Mm-hmm. It's salt.
Right? That's why the ocean is salty.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's why I always recommend or encourage my clients to soak in a salt bath. Mm. Not only physically, but spiritually. Removes all the toxins.
Or go to the ocean.
Go to the ocean. Put your feet in the ocean.
You know, there's also talking about sound. Color is a reflection of vibration, a reflection of sound, a reflection of light, which is also vibrating. And so the color, in Kabbalah, there are different colors, right? Mm-hmm. So the blue color is calming, is more spiritual, more ascension of, mm-hmm. Of ascension. Like, for example, red. If you wear red, or if you are in a red room,
red, right?
If you're in a red room and you are there for a long time, you become like the jittery kind of thing, and blue is very calming, very relaxing.
So it's very agitative. You're saying red is
eventually because red
yet
is
it's passion too.
Because it's passion. But think about this: if you are all the time in passion or you're all the time on a go, eventually your energy is becoming that, and you're like all the time in that space. And you know, you have to have some kind of like a pull the plug. You know. Yeah. So when you're in red room, for example, all day, or I knew somebody that was dressing all red from head to toe, T-shirt, shorts, sneakers, red. Mm-hmm. I couldn't personally. Now, I don't know if it was because I, no, but I remember feeling that I couldn't. It was just like, it was like as if I'm, there are two plates that are pressing on my sides. Mm-hmm.
Like a bookmark. Well, you taught me something because I always, you've taught me many things, but.
So did you.
Thank you. I always say it's a balance. You said, no, it's not a balance. It's harmony.
Harmony.
I get chills. That's my body's truth. I get chills even now being in harmony. Now I don't want to be in balance. I want to be in harmony.
Because when you talk to people about balance, what do they think?
You got to tip one way or the other, right?
50-50.
And it's not. It's 100-100.
Sometimes it's 40-60. Sometimes it's 35-75. No, I'm just kidding.
35. My math, my calculus, and my arithmetic. So, 1 plus 1 equals what?
17.
There you go.
11. Depends how you look at it.
Oh, there you go.
So when I was a kid and you're going to the beach, and I would ask my parents, oh, I'm tired. What bus should I take to the beach? Bus number 11. There is no 11. Yeah, your feet.
Your feet. Perfect. I love 11. It. See? So, no, it's really beautiful harmony. And because you're a musician and everything and you teach sound, your embodiment. See, this, for me, you came in with that, born with all this harmony. And that's where you turn to for comfort. And now it's part of your healing of others.
It takes a lifetime.
But you could have turned it around.
Meaning,
you were coming with this soul essence. It's part of you. You didn't have to facilitate it.
So understanding that, mm-hmm. understanding that when we were talking about gifts, understanding that literally you don't have to do much you don't have to work hard to exercise your gifts like mm-hmm. you're doing with your books. And we're going to talk about JoJo.
Oh.
We're going to talk about JoJo. You don't have to work hard. And it's not saying about putting in effort and doing what we need to do, because there is the ishtadlut, the effort that we're putting in that we have to do, because it doesn't grow on a tree, right? So, but it's to come to that understanding. And to come to that understanding, we have to go through, oh, you cannot cry. Oh, you cannot do this. Oh, you cannot do this. I also, like for me growing up, it was like I couldn't, crying from like, get out of here, or watch out that the door doesn't hit you on the way out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like.
So even though we're on different globes, we had the same story.
We had the same story. Yeah, totally, totally.
And really, what got me out of it was obviously trauma, but acting.
Oh, that's right.
Acting was a beautiful, and I teach acting to children, role playing, and it allows you to emote these emotions, beautiful emotions, because sometimes when we're ourselves, it's harder to be ourselves, but when we're someone else.
So a character going in. I heard that going into a character acting is people that don't want to be themselves, that are running away from themselves.
Well, that could be one aspect, or it could be the imagination. For me, going on set and getting dressed up and being that character, yay! For me, it's like a playground. And because I had brothers, so I didn't play with dolls. I played with balls, not dolls. So I can shoot a hoop, but I wouldn't know how to dress a doll. And yet, I mean, as a very small child, I knew I wanted to be a mom. That's like, I knew. See, that was in my soul essence.
So that was before, like at what age did you knew that you are a mom, just not a exercising mom yet?
I mean, as a child, even when my brothers were born, because there's Michael, then me, then Rocky and Vinny. So I always took care of them. I always knew I had that nurturing at 12. I drew a picture and cut out magazine articles. You know, they didn't have Google. And when I had my son, I have a son and a daughter, he looked exactly like the pictures I cut out at 12 years old.
Oh, wow. Really?
So I knew I was going to be a mother. That's my greatest, greatest. Everything else is just frosting on the
cake. This is so beautiful. I mean, look at you. You have a wonderful masculine and feminine energy. You are working with children. You are an author. You're exercising your gifts as an actor, mm-hmm. and you're looking at what creation gave us, what God gave you actually, this gift of the maternal, this caring, right? And many women that I know look at it as a gradation to women.
See, to me, that's my heart's breath. This is the fact that I was blessed to be a mom. And I'm a mom to many. It doesn't mean...
But it's not just a mom that you are a mom. You have this maternal caring, right?
I love being a mom. I love being domesticated. It doesn't mean I didn't, go forward with my dreams. It doesn't mean you have to inhibit or pull back on your dreams.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I know that some of you are watching now, if you're a woman, and if you're in that space, is to embrace that gift, to embrace that blessing of life, this creation, in Hebrew. A woman that stays at home and takes care of the family and takes care of the house, and they call it in Hebrew akeret bayit. Mm-hmm. In English, it's called housewife. Mm-hmm. Now, completely different. I don't care. I don't go by the English language for understanding concepts because, sorry, it is what it is. I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. So,
see the little secret language. I love it.
So. But akeret bayit comes from the word ikar, essence.
Mm.
That's what akeret bayit means, essence of the house. Without the essence, there is no house. Without this is what King Solomon says, akeret bayit. And it says, in the wisdom of a woman, she builds a house. And she maintains, exactly, I just got a text. Yeah, okay. She builds a house because the essence is in the feminine. Let's put it this way. The feminine has the expression of a woman and also men, because men and women, I say many times I'm 51% feminine, 49% masculine. You know, it's like sometimes I have a little bit extra, right? But this is the blessing of understanding when you embrace that. Look at that. You also achieve your dreams. You are like, it's embracing what you are. And this is what I really love. You know, this is just...
Well, I think this is where, it comes through a lot of experiences. Right?
Exactly. Lifestyle.
And it's a rarity, but so lovely that you appreciate the domestication of a woman. And I know the domestication is a funny word, but, loving the house. I love the analogy of the house. I mean, you have a story about the house, though. There's a story that you told before that I love. When, like, they're in charge of the house.
Yeah. It's
when someone came, I think someone had to go.
Oh, this was
this
from.
This is a beautiful story.
Okay, so this is from the portion of the Torah called Korach.
Mm-hmm.
Korach, there was Moses, the chosen the leader of Israel, the Israelites, and actually it's part of it's great.
I love that.
You did it.
Well,
great, because it comes in right into what's this portion of the week also. So Korach was somebody who wanted to create a coup against Moses and to take leadership. Say he came to Moses and says, "Who put you as charge and above us?" And all these kind of things, and you chose your brother and what is running in the family. He says, "Look, I didn't choose anything. It was ordained that way." So Korach gathered a bunch of people to go, like what we do today, protest, go in front of the house of the president and protest, like, get out of the house, da, da, da. And there was, so in the beginning of the portion, not this week, but another portion, there are lists of names of the people who went against Moses. And there is Korach, ta-ta-ta-ta, and there was another, On Ben Felet, On, that was the guy's name. Later, when they actually confronted Moses and Moses invoked the brought God in the picture, and what happened is the earth opened itself, and all the people of Korach that supported him, is their families, their kids, everybody went down. None of the other people were affected. All the people that went down, there was a list except for that On guy, that person. He appeared in the beginning like having a coup, being in the group, but when everybody died, he didn't die. And I say, what is happening? So going into scriptures and the Gemara and the Talmud, what happened is he came to his wife and he said, we have to do this and we have to go against Moses, and Moses is not right, and we have to do what's right, and ta-ta-ta. And this is where the Bina, the understanding of a woman, comes. So if we're looking at the tree of life, we have Chochmah, Bina, Da'at, which is the wisdom, understanding, and the putting, and the knowledge. The knowledge, wisdom, and putting together. The wisdom and the knowledge you put together, you get the understanding of how to do things. And the woman is blessed with extra understanding. So like a man would come, would say, oh, you know, I'm going to do a deal with this friend of mine. I have this there. Well, in a year, we're going to make a bunch of money. Pa, 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 pa. I'll give you an example. Like, I did the same thing when I started my documentary 10 years ago. I said, oh, within a year, I'm going in, out, boom. And I remember at that time, this woman was telling me, yeah, but what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And what about that? I didn't want to listen to her because I didn't want to rock what I believed in. Okay, mm-hmm. So this woman tells this On guy in Korach, she tells him, but honey, what are you doing now under Moses? I'm an accountant. He was dealing with the monies of Israel, of everybody bringing their tithes and offerings. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do after, let's say, Korach does take over? Well, I'm going to do the same thing. Da, da, da. So why are you putting yourself in the middle? Well, it's not your fight. Why are you putting yourself in the middle? Well, you know, I already gave my word. I have to do it. Is that what you're concerned about? Leave it to me. Don't worry about that. Then she fed him. She gave him some wine. At that time, the wine wasn't like today. The wine, you take a glass, you're out. And what she did, she took her head covering and sat outside of the tent and started combing her hair. Now, at those times, a married woman uncovered hair, men would not look at her, would not get close. Different reasons. I mean, can go.
I like that.
And so Korach and his coup group come to pick him up, and they see his wife sitting. So they went around and said, okay, we'll come back in 10 minutes. We'll pick up other people and we'll come back. And she stays combing outside of the tent before they're entering their tent. They come back after 10 minutes. They still see the woman combing her hair. Like, so we can't get close there. Leave him. We'll come back later. And that's how he was saved.
There you go.
And that's how he was saved. And this is what King Solomon says: in her wisdom and understanding, she builds a house.
Yeah.
You know, and this is so wonderful.
Such a beautiful story. And I do want to acknowledge men that stay home too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, men that stay home and take care of their children. I know many, and so it's not just gender based. You know, there's a lot of men that actually choose that, and the women.
You choose
works,
that.
Which I love that.
No, you choose it. I've done it in my previous lives. I've done
yes.
that a couple of, but it is not as it is not an ingrained mm-hmm. Quality. Mm-hmm. Okay, it is you choose that. You have
Correct.
You have a deal with your wife. You
communicate
stay at home.
With your wife.
Communicate
there
with your
go.
Wife, right? Communicate with your wife. You talk with your wife. You are, you know, you decide that. Mm-hmm. But it is not ingrained. And what I find today is with this communication, you know, it's like, how do we communicate? How do we come to these understandings? How do we come to understand what is okay? My partner is, you know, how do I come to this place? How do I come to this place of understanding of canceling myself and, okay, hearing what's going on and talking about that. And
well, my feeling is love and communication is the same. Love is a feeling, so is communication, but it's also behavior.
Love is a feeling.
And it's also behavior.
Do you think it's a choice?
I don't know.
Love is a choice?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So you think love is a feeling?
It's a feeling, but it's also a behavior. Meaning,
it's a behavior.
So if I care for someone, the behavior I will give that other person is the nurturing and the understanding and the value and to be heard. So that is love when I'm showing that and that behavior to someone else.
Mm.
So I feel like, again, I feel it's a feeling, but it's also behavior.
It's a behavior. So what comes first? What do you think comes first? Because that's interesting. I didn't think. It's like, so what comes first, you think? Because love is a choice. You know, what comes first? Is it coming to choose to be with a person, to choose to love the person, or to give? Because if we take the word love, mm-hmm. right? Ahava in Hebrew.
How do you say?
Ahava.
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 Like
exactly. Ahava.
Shadmuta. Now I've learned two words. Ahava and Shadmuta.
Okay. Usually they don't go together, but that's okay.
That's okay.
if you know Hebrew then you know, or Arabic, you know what what Shadmuta.
Okay, sorry, I interrupted. See, the child went cuckoo. Oh, see, look at that.
So, Ahava. Ahava, Aleph, the first letter, Aleph, is the spiritual. Is the spiritual fire.
So there's a spiritual fire. I like that.
There's a spiritual, and we'll talk about that. So if you separate that, Ahava is ani. Ahava is me. Hava, I give.
Oh.
Hava is give. I give. So, right. Ani hava, so I give. So the question is, do you love the person you give to, or do you give to the person whom you love?
Both. So you had that on your wall the other day and when you did your live.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
And my good friend Julie said, when you give, you also receive. And I completely, like, see, I got chills again. That's the magic. So it's a gift and a gift.
You give and you receive.
And but, so, but it's, so actually it's a give and a give and a receive and a receive.
So it's the intention to give, not the
so
intention to receive.
Yeah, you don't have to have an expectation to receive. When you give, it is the pouring of love. So that was a beautiful thing on Friday of your live, and that was one of the responses. I was like, yes, you can feel it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I get so entangled, so I forget. The phone number here, if you want to share, to call, to show yourself, 323-203-0815. Won't be able to show yourself, but we're able to hear yourself. 323-203-0815.
Yes. Please call in. That's why I love these lives, because we can interact. I
exactly,
love that.
Right?
Please call in any kind of comments or questions or
anything.
Thoughts or feelings. You know, this is your opportunity to be heard and to be valued.
Yeah. And bring your gifts. What do you do? What do you love doing? Call us with what do you love to do. Jojo.
Jojo.
So you are Jojo too.
Yes,
let's
Jojo.
Talk about Jojo.
So my character was developed by, I received a master's for spiritual psychology, and my second year project was to write a book. Now, I was discouraged to write a book, even spiritual psychology school. They're like, you've never written one. I'm like, no, but I've always written poetry. No, 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 no. I said, no, I really want to do this. And so I couldn't find an illustrator, second block. I had many blocks, but I was like, I just kept going. So I called, you know, college students. I can't even draw a stick figure. So I called Hay House. They wanted the manuscript. They published Jojo. And Jojo is after the Archangel Jophiel. And she's actually my inner child.
Mm.
So I had to find my inner child again because I had buried her. And so when I
because
I
you were not
to
allowed
play.
To cry, not allowed
not
to do
to
all
cry.
This game.
I buried part of her. Mm. The playing, yes, I always had the playing.
Yeah, the play's gone.
But the hurt part, the wounded part, I buried that and just said, keep going, keep going. And the books have been such a deep, deep healing. And for me, it's love. Jojo is all about love.
Yeah.
She's about showing and sharing kids and children, teens, adults, about love, to love themselves and to believe in themselves, and that we're all different, but we're all the same.
Yeah.
And although these are children's books, I've taken these books to Skid Row and all the hospitals, and it's not for children. Like I said, we are all children. We are all children inside.
Especially men.
Men and women, yes. Yeah, well, I like men because I grew up with boys, so I get it.
Yeah. So it's beautiful. And the thing what I like about this is that you're taking out emotions like mm-hmm. love mm-hmm. or an aspect of love that is an emotional aspect, and you are bringing it into kind of almost materialistic expression. Like love is represented here by a red stone.
Right.
Her heart.
That's her heart. It beats like her heart. It's her intuition. It's her gut.
It's an intuition.
But I don't have to say that.
You just...
It's part of it. Oh, and people get it.
The rock is turning red. Oh, I feel it. Yeah, it's beating. So it's like almost like we're associating the rock to our feelings, right, to our hearts, right?
And the way she got it, look, I got chills. See, it gets emotions. How she got it, she had to go through a thorn, and she tore her wing. So sometimes to get to that place, it doesn't mean you always have to go through pain, but that pain, when we are faced with pain or fear, it allows us to be aware and move through it.
So it's you know, there is the notion of our old generation of our parents. And comes into today. I suffer, thus I exist. We don't have to suffer.
No, I was raised Catholic, so yes.
And I'm Jewish, so it's the same thing.
So it's the same thing. We like to eat, we like family, and we have all these superstitions or rituals, which are beautiful and lovely. And I embrace all the religions because there's a takeaway from all of them.
Yeah.
So, and then with your sound, see, I'm very sound sensitive. I don't like loud noises. So when I had a sound healing with Alon the first time, I was a little bit scared because I thought I didn't know what it's going to be like. But it's an inner and outer body experience. So even when he hits the bowls, you can feel the vibration. It's all energy. So explain what you do, because it actually allowed the creativity of mine to be enhanced by the sound.
Oh, wow, really?
So I'm like writing two more books. We're writing one together.
So... we are made of sound. We are made of frequency. Every part of our body is every part of our body has a frequency. Our heart, this is a heart ball that targets our heart area. And every part of our body has a frequency. We are made of frequencies. Our heart, our hands, our skin. And so when we allow sound to come in, we're first of all releasing toxins. And so the way that I work with Tibetan bowls, with sound, with words, with
how... See, I'm getting warm. See, I'm sweating. That's what it does. I'm telling you, it's real.
So I use different tools, the voice, the words, the intention behind the words, the sound bowls. But you know, everything, sound bowls and everything is external. And what is internal is our voice, is our intention. So that's why prayer is important. Because prayer we are invoking with words, and behind the words we have intentions.
So like meditation as well? Because meditation
absolutely.
Is...
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, you're not... Because I always thought it's one and the same. So even your voice carries frequency. You know this. You know that's
one of your voice gifts. Every voice carries frequency. But there is this place, there is this point... And when you speak, or at least I know I can talk about myself, where I know that there is a resonance that hits the other side and sinks in mm-hmm. instead of bouncing back. So I feel that. It's an intuition. I feel, because then there is... Think about, I'll give you the best analogy for that. Think about when you're listening to music in mono mm-hmm. versus stereo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you're hearing it in mono, you're hearing it here. It's here. But when you're hearing it in stereo, you're hearing it here. And this is the feeling that I have when I work with people. I can feel when it penetrates, when the voice penetrates or the sound goes into the other person, because mm-hmm. I can feel it coming back. So there is a circuit. There's a circuit that goes in and out and in and out. But when it doesn't, it blocks. It's blocked.
Oh, so you can sense that.
I can sense that. Yeah, I sense that. And then so I will move to either something else, or I'll find out, I'll discover what is happening, or what is going on with, you know, in there, why is the blockage? Because if there is no travel of the frequency from head to toe, then I will narrow where it's blocked, and that's where the area is.
So this is the heart. So if this you were to see a blockage in a heart, then you go in deeper.
Well, first of all, I will not feel the resonance coming back. Right.
Okay.
Now it was just an example, right? It's just to...
But when you're working on someone,
when I'm working,
feel that, and then afterwards, then you discuss that, or...
I discuss it, I share it, but first of all, the body tells me before you. So like when we worked together, when we did a session, I could see certain things that are not flowing, right? And your body automatically tells me what's going on. Like there are twitches. Mm. Like if I hit certain frequencies, there are twitches. There are like your hands move involuntarily, right? Mm. And so it gives me an indication. Your body is your first form of communication. That's why also I read body language. So when I look at body, when somebody speaks to me, says, "Oh yeah, I'm totally fine with you. I'm totally fine." You know, I mean, this is the 101 kind of thing. You know, the person is closed. But also, what is happening? I can feel the reflection in the voice, because when we don't want to say something, or when there is a trauma of some sort, then it reflects in the voice. So the voice will go high or go low. And there are certain things that you cannot feel that, you know. But I won't say, oh, that's right. Oh, Leonard and Julie. Oh, hello, Julie. So you're right. You're right. So there is a sentence that Leonard Cohen and Julie's reminding me.
Love
now.
Him.
Julie's reminding me now. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
Yes, love that.
And when there is a crack in our heart, that's when the light gets in.
Correct.
And you know, so when
you have to break apart. That's why her wings are mosaic. They had to break apart.
Yeah, that's right. And when it breaks apart, it breaks into pieces.
Correct.
Right. So our heart, so we're talking about suffering. We don't have to suffer, but sometimes we do have to hit rock bottom to get out from the bottom of the rock.
That's right.
Right. And thank you, Julie. Great show, guys, it says.
Thank you.
And so harmony, yeah, and she adds, so harmony is also our balance between our light and dark.
Mm.
Harmony, that's right. But again, it's dichotomy. You used harmony and balance in one sentence. So it's interesting. So harmony is our harmonious existence between our light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get up in the morning, and yeah, we can talk until we're blue in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get blue in the face, but... We can talk until we're blue in the face that says, oh.
Unless you take colloidal silver.
It depends who is administering it.
Correct. And where.
So we get up in the morning and we say, yeah, the morning is great. You know, I'm going to make my morning. And then, blah, blah, blah. And then bam, something happens that throws me off kilt. Right? Right? So, okay. So in this moment, you know. So in this moment, I feel like that. Oh, I feel, but I can get out of it. You see, once somebody told me, you always have to be in this place. We can't be always in that 100%. It's like being in a red room. You can't always be 100%
right.
In a red room, or it's a pull and push.
Exactly.
Right. So
we're never stuck.
We're never stuck. It's always fluid.
That's right. This is where I think there's this misconception or irrational belief system that we are stuck. We are not stuck. We can get out of anything. Now, I'm not saying stay in a job that makes you miserable, but stay in it. I know we all have bills and we have responsibilities, but you are not stuck in it. There is always a way out.
Yeah.
Or a way through.
So the question is, do we plan on living a way out in the beginning?
We do, I believe.
Yeah,
I believe. Right. You know, and I, for every no, there's a yes. And I always feel, oh, I was a failure. No, I wasn't a failure. If I didn't try.
Who said you were a failure?
Well, I would tell myself. Oh. I would tell myself. Or my son would tell himself. I'm like, no, you're not a failure. If you didn't try, you're failing. Fail yourself. You are.
Oh, wow.
So you're not a failure. You tried it. You did it.
But if we don't try, we're failing.
Correct. You're already a success in your awareness and trying.
That's amazing. That's why I love you. That's amazing. That's great. I want to say who is here. Naren says, love you, Gina.
Oh, Naren, hi.
Well, she's there.
Oh, hi. Oh, I'm so glad you're on. I'm right next to you, actually.
And
I'm
Julie, sure yeah, Nareen. Yeah. So
Nareen.
Nareen, sorry.
That's
because,
okay.
Because there is no an E at the end, so I thought it's Nareen.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She's my other sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, that's great.
Our soul sister.
The soul sister, man. This is so great. So now, so her fiberglass. Her
maybe that's the next book.
That's the next one.
No.
JoJo goes to a fiberglass factory.
Well, the next one is JoJo Rides the Rails because she hopped a freight train 5 years ago.
Oh,
you know about that, Nareen? So
and you hopped on the freight train as he was driving, right?
Right, at Van Nuys, and yeah.
End up in?
Went to Ojai. Right. And then two of my books are dedicated to my children, of course, and then we're writing one.
We're writing another one.
About an earthship.
Earthship, yeah. So. Oh, that's amazing. If you don't know what an earthship, go.
He'll explain it.
Google it. It's it's really living off-grid, and it's beautiful. You've experienced it.
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
So let's see, who else? Yeah, thank you.
Well, I would like you to talk about it, because I think this is really, really important.
Talk about what?
Your Holy Ghetto.
Oh, my documentary.
Your documentary.
Okay.
This is about love and communication at the highest, highest degree.
Wow.
It's very profound.
Well, thank you for bringing it up. We do have 4 minutes left.
Oh.
So.
Well, then we have to have another show.
We'll have to have another show. I started this documentary 10 years ago. When my notion was, get in and out, finish a documentary, business, mm-hmm. invest, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. I didn't care. I didn't know what I was. Excuse me. And
see, you're releasing energy.
Exactly.
That was an energy
exactly.
release.
Exactly. I'm telling you, man. Wow. She's something.
Yeah. Likewise.
So.
And so are you. And you.
And so are and they.
You. They.
So are
you.
So are you. You.
So you.
Holy Ghetto tells the story. It's still in post production, but it tells the story of three people that, despite their aspirations as dream and dreams as children, they all ended up entangled in the red light district of Tel Aviv, the underbelly of Israel. And the story is a human tapestry. It's a human drama. But can we rise? Can we rise about what society reduced us to be? But more importantly, can we rise about what we reduced ourselves to be? The three characters in them, Olga was kidnapped when she was 17 from Russia for sex trade in Israel, for sex slavery. Dave is an American who moved to the red light district to open a shelter for the women in prostitution, for the homeless women in prostitution. Mm-hmm. And Ohad is an ex-trafficker of women who seeks redemption. They all come together to create this tapestry of connection, and communication there is a whole different level. Mm. It's on a whole different level. So thank you for
out for that. I'm really excited for that to come into fruition and come to life and go around the globe. People need to see and feel this, because it may be this subject matter, but it embodies all of what our lives are about.
Exactly.
And what we're attaining.
Resilience, dreams, not forgetting our dreams, pursuing our dreams, self-empowerment. And each character is represented in us, you know, in us, each one, whether it is the resilience and above against all odds, whether it's the sleek talker, we get out of every situation, whether it's creating the home that we never had or the home that we always wish for. Mm-hmm. And we are, you know, so all this is embodied, and it's an empowerment life project, actually. So thank you for bringing it up. We are getting to the last 2 minutes of
that flew.
It flew by like JoJo with her wings. It's amazing. Thank you for everybody for being here. So, what do you feel? Anything that you want to share with who is watching now or watching later?
Really, thank you for taking the time to connect with us, and love that you made comments. And you know, really, the message is, be you. Do you.
Oh, man. Be you.
Because you're amazing.
Be you and do you.
And you're okay. Wonderful. I think people want to know that they're okay. You're okay.
More than
I'm
enough.
I'm okay.
You are okay. You are enough. You're more than enough, mm-hmm. you know?
Even when we feel like we're not, we're actually okay. In this moment, right now, we're all okay.
Yeah. Yeah, amen, amen. This is wonderful. Amen. So this is wonderful. This is great. Yeah. I think
thank
we
you
have,
for having me on. I'm really, really
of course.
Okay, honored
we talked about
and
we talked
pleased.
We talked about this, and we're, this is great. So thank you for your comments and for your encouragement and for being here and for being you and for being you.
And you.
And you. And you.
And them.
And them.
And Jojo.
And Jojo.
Bing.
So... Okay. 20 questions in one. All right. Okay. So thank you for being here. This is great to be here with you and with you. This is Abracadabra. Create what you speak. Bring your dreams to life. This is wonderful. I'm Ilan Azulay. Thank you, Gina Ann, for being here. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Create what you speak. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.